We should start by thanking the organizer for having me. And today I'm going to talk about my recent work with Professor Bob Holden and also an ongoing work with Bob and the PhD student Randy on this very exciting topic. So as we have already heard a lot yesterday, the current observation is not enough to tell us what the spacetime is like exactly around the black hole horizon. And theoretically, an attractive option to resolve the information loss paradox is to just taking away the horizon, and in particular, if this has any connection to the quantum gravity, so like the Fossbohr proposal in the string theory. But in view of effective theory, I think it's still puzzling that why we should expect quantum gravity effect around the horizon of a macroscopic black hole, because the curvature there is just much lower than the Planck scale. So in the first half of the talk, I will just present you such a candidate. Well, the Planckian scale correction around the macroscopic horizon could naturally occur when the matter distribution is dense enough and it's within the conventional field theory. And then in the second half, I will change the topic to discuss some search strategy for ICOs in the bottom-up approach. So as have been discussed a lot yesterday, given our ignorance on the exact waveform of ICOs, it's probably important to first search for the primary feature of ICOs, which is determined by the time delay. So I will discuss some window functions as a possible model agnostic approach to extract this information. And I will end by showing some interesting hint of our current search of the LIGO data. So because I'm going to cover quite different topics, so within this short time, I can just talk about the basic idea, but I'm very happy to talk about the detail afterwards. So let's start from the theory. So we know GR is non-renormalizable because with the quadratic propagator, graviton loop will just generate a higher power term. But if we just simply generalize the Einstein-Hilbert action by all the possible quadratic curvature term, then this action has been found to be perturbatively renormalizable at dimension 4 spacetime several decades ago, basically because at high energy, the propagator is dominated by this quadratic term. And furthermore, if you include the loop correction, this new dimensionless coupling has been found to be asymptotically free. But this theory is not accepted because of this similarly very severe Gauss problem. In the standard picture, by assuming this running coupling to be weak at this mass scale, then the physical spectrum of the theory can be derived perturbatively. And then you will see in the spin 2 sector that the massive pole with the wrong side of kinetic term. And this will imply either vacuum instability or the entirety problem. So for many people, this is just treated as the intrinsic thickness of the theory. But we think this might not be the end of the story because this coupling are running. So if the mass scale in the classical action start to be small, such that this running coupling already gets strong at some higher scale, then this perturbative pole just falls into the non-perturbative region. So if the strong dynamics can properly take away this wobbly ghost, then the theory still has chance to be well-defined. So this idea has been studied more seriously recently in some papers. And for us, we're trying to think about it by making analogy with the well-known quantum cryodynamics. So I don't have time to go to detail about how we do the analogy. But we have shown that by starting from a pure classical scale invariant quadratic action, it's possible that the non-perturbative effect just remove the ghost pole and leave the massless graviton as the only light degree of freedom in the theory. And the Planck mass is just generated by the strong gravitational interaction. So in this sense, general relativity just emerged as a low energy description, just like the Carroll-Lagrangian in QCD. So if this has any chance to be true, then it shows an interesting picture for gravity. That is, the quantum gravity effect might be just important around the Planck scale. But if you are going to like very large energy or high curvature, you have this region, which you can do physics by the classical quadratic action in this perturbative way. So the question is.
Question, did you check that the equation of motion for perturbations are hyperbolic in this theory?
The perturbation of the equation is what?
So usually this type of theory, in addition to the problem of having Gauss, even if you remove the Gauss, they're usually the equation of motion are not well posed generically. So I'm wondering whether you check that.
So I don't know exactly what you mean by it's not well posed. Right. So maybe we can do that. Right. So yes, there are a big debate of this. But if for seconds you think about this picture, then the question I ask is whether that region could give rise to correction to this microscopic black hole. So as the first step, we approximate this quantum theory by a classical action that have the same limit in this IR and EV region. So I think you have seen this type of action a lot in previous paper, but it's normally just treated as a truncation of effective theory. But here in our context, you can just take such simple stuff to explore solution which has very small curvature as well as very large curvature. So now we're trying to find solution in that classical theory. And because there's no Birkhoff theorem, so we need to find solution numerically. And what we're trying to do is to see when the matter distribution gets more and more compact, what are we going to find? So here we're using a thin shell as the matter source. So when the shell radius is larger than the Wolpe horizon as determined by the mass, you just find the regular solution like in GR. But what's surprising here is that when the shell shrink within the Wolpe horizon, you still have a horizonless solution, and it is associated with a new family of serial expansion around the origin, and this turned out to be the most general solution in this theory. So in other words, the horizon does not have to form when you have very dense matter distribution in this theory.
And what does 2-2 mean?
2-2 means this serial expansion. It's like, I think I can, I mean, this solution at the origin is characterized by its behavior, like you can do it in the serial expansion. Oh. So this just characterizes the power of that serial expansion. Actually, you will see that in the next.
So, I mean, this transition that you have, does it occur whatever the size of the black hole is? Or not, because I think this should depend on the value. So you have Planck scale, and then you have another scale.
Exactly. So
you have to fix that.
Right. So this is a totally different scale from the Planck scale, and we do find a solution for this M, which is much larger than Planck scale. And actually, I will just show you what the solution is like in the next slide. So this shows like one type of one example, the metric as the function of the radius for this 2-2 hole solution. And you can see outside of the Wolpe horizon, the metric just resembles the Schrödinger solution closely with exponentially small correction. And the curvature in this region just is very small when the mass is very large. But drastic deviation occurred when like about Planck proper distance outside of the Wolpe horizon. And this is just dictated by that field equation. And it's actually like for different mass of the object, this deviation actually will change just as determined by the equation. And within the Wolpe horizon, the metric will quickly follow this 2-2 serial expansion without changing a sign. And we have found this integral, the metric actually follow a very simple but different scaling with respect to the mass of the object. So when it's very big, the gravitational redshift will be very large in this region. And also the radial direction will shrink so much that it's roughly just have the Planck proper length.
Excuse me, what is L over M? What is L?
Oh, L is just the shell. Like, so this is one solution, we have the shell. Which is within the Wolpe horizon, but we also have solution when the shell like it's all the way down to zero. So it's just a series of solution.
The curvature at 2m, is it large or is it small?
Sorry, you mean?
So you have at r equals 2m.
Yeah.
Is the curvature? So you say that I take m to be very large.
Yeah.
Is the curvature there
the...
You mean whether curvature? Yeah, so I'm going to talk about the curvature. Like, actually, the curvature will quickly become super Planckian in this region. So it's like, here is your Schwarzschild, but when you experience this very rapid transition, the curvature just grow up,
so
and it quickly go past the Planckian.
So you said that no matter what m...
Yeah, no matter. So like, our matter is like here's the same shell. It could be anywhere like here, but this is just a vacuum. But it's kind of, you can think that it's a region when the quadratic curvature term come to compete with the Einstein term and give rise to this kind of drastic.
You said that the quadratic term is important no matter what value of m is, no matter what the value of m is. So right after I cross r equals 2m,
mm-hmm.
the quadratic term becomes very important, very large, no matter what m is.
Yeah, no matter what m is. And as I say, we find this novel scaling, this gives us idea about when you have this object very large, what the behavior is like in this region. And because this is a super Planckian region, actually, we have a curvature singularity. It's a time-like curvature singularity at the origin. So it's definitely a problem for a point particle geodesic, but we have found it could appear regular when you probe that by some more physical finite energy wave packet, in the sense that a unique reflecting Dirichlet boundary condition can be automatically imposed at the origin for this wave, so that the wave has regular dynamics at this point. So. In this sense, this two-hole give an interesting candidate to generate this post-merger icon. And furthermore, the time delay for this object can be calculated just from the numerical solution. So although it has this interior, but the dominant contribution for the time delay is still coming from the exterior. So it still has this log dependence that you have seen yesterday. But the coefficient of the log depends on how close to the horizon this deviation occur. So because of the numerical limitation, we didn't find the exact solution for this astrophysical large object, but we do have a good guess on what the time delay could be for this large object. So it's kind of close to the toy model of the truncated black hole with the mirror just like at the Planck proper distance outside of the would-be horizon. Yeah, so now I will move to a different topic, talk about this search strategy for icos. So we know, so for ultra-compact horizonless object, the potential could differ from the black hole in this small tortoise coordinate. And the one type of candidate is the ultra-compact star with the regular spacetime. They always have this blow-up potential at the origin. But Tutuho shows another possibility. In the interior, the potential will approach a small constant. So it's just a very small disruption of a deviation from that of black hole. And there could be many other distortion for other type of candidate. So for the general search of icos, we need to find common feature for all this type of object.
I thought the curvature was blowing up at the origin.
Yeah.
So how is the potential?
Yeah, that's interesting. Like when you are looking at this expression, and so the curvature blow up because like the volume is actually shrinking to zero at that point. But when you just calculate this potential, it turned out to be just approach a fixed constant at that point. So it's really very mild correction when you look at this.
When the curvature blows up, the semi-classical vacuum effects also blow up because they depend on higher powers of their curvature, and they back react to the Einstein equation, and they can change the
no,
metric.
Are you talking about the high order term?
The semi vacuum energy, for example.
You're talking about the
vacuum of stress sensor blow up when the curvature blow up, and they can back react to the metric, and they can change the
okay.
metrics, and
wait.
This potential change there.
Okay, we haven't thought about that vacuum energy part. Yeah, I'm happy to talk to you about that, like what's influential.
Sorry, excuse me. So you mentioned that the potential is not much different than the black hole potential, but you're also, I guess, going to impose reflecting boundary conditions, though?
Yeah, so for the Chuzhou Hall, we have just a Dirichlet boundary condition at our region. That's kind of determined by the space-time. Yeah, and as Aaron have discussed yesterday, we can characterize echo just by studying the Green function in the frequency space. This could be constructed in principle for a given potential and boundary conditions. Here we call this inverse of the Wronskian as the transfer function because its pole in the complex plane just are just a quasi-normal mode of the object. This figure shows the absolute value of transfer function for the as a function of the real frequency for the truncated black hole with different type of boundary condition, and also. This kind of thing could be used for other type of object, and this show the results for two type of gravel star and the Chuzhou Hall. As you can see, there are some common feature for this different type of solution. What we see are just the evenly spaced resonance with gradually increasing weights, and with a given resolution in the frequency space, which corresponds to a finite number of echoes you see in the time domain, then you see this pattern like peak in some intermediate frequency scale. And on the other hand, our observation depends on the transfer function as well as the frequency content in the source. So as long as the source has a frequency like quite fairly flat within this region, then we can use this feature from transfer function as the target for the general echo search. But the question is that how do I extract this information out of the noise in a quite model agnostic way? So we think one strategy is to just impose a time window on the data to remove the noise between echoes. So with the proper choice of the width of echo, we find by just including a few number of echoes, you can get this enhancement of signal within this intermediate frequency region. And you can just also just directly impose the window in the frequency space. But the point here is to have very high resolution in the frequency space so that you can use very narrow window to resolve the structure of a large number of echo, and in this way to get enhanced the signal. So for both cases, the primary feature of the window is defined by the time delay, and the other few parameters could be just used to optimize the search. So for the real data search, we need to use a correlation of different detector to further suppress the noise. After lining up the data set with the main events, we then optimize the correlation of different window data with respect to the shift of the window. And in the end, we can show the correlation just as the function of the time delay by varying other parameter and just see whether there's anyone that is preferred. So currently, we use three different methods to do the search, basically by just using the time window or the frequency window or combine the two together. I don't have time to go to detail for this method, but we do test this method on some toy model with a Gaussian noise to get some idea about like how do we choose a various parameter. So we use this method on the four LIGO binary black hole events. So for the signal search, we just do the analysis for the Whiten data after merger. And at the first step for the background estimation, we just do similar analysis for the data before merger. And we're using the correlation of two LIGO detector to find out this best time delay. And this figure shows you the correlation for the third events with the frequency window. And this is for the signal search, and this is for the background search. So here you can very clearly see this hint of a preferred time delay. For the signal search, which persists for the window with a wide range of echoes, which you can compare with this background search. Since we are looking for this resonance pattern, which could be quite sensitive to what the noise is like, so as a consistency check, we require the persistence of this time delay peak by varying some say like parameter of the window, as well as like to just change the way of widening the data to some extent. So here you see another example. This is for the fourth event, and it's the search within a longer range of time delay search. And here what you see is the persistency of the peak by changing the number of echoes to include, and also the width of the time window. So this figure shows our current best results. And it's interesting that for the first events, which has the strongest mean pulse, it turns out has the weakest hint in our search. So here what I showed is the final correlation plot for the other three events after averaging over various parameter. So in particular, for the second and the fourth events, we see this peak at quite close time delay with two different types of methods, which actually explore the data set as very different region. And this table shows the preferred time delay in the unit of the final object mass within roughly one sigma range. So they're kind of close to each other, and also similar to the previous theoretical prediction from like for Planckian scale deviation at the horizon. So we think these are something interesting to further explore. Thank you for the guy. Right, okay, so I'm ready.
I think it's very hard to ask quick questions like that.
Yeah.
Just to check, is your extra quadratic term right consistent with the experimental tests of general relativity, depending of light?
Yeah, because the coefficient in front of those are Planck scale, so the deviation just occurred at Planck scale. So I'm talking about exponential.
I'm very relieved.
Right.
Other questions?